Hello, this is Arthur Taylor. For the next 8 hours, I'm going to be leading you through a course entitled Managing Conflict in the Local Church. Before I present my material, however, let me spend just a moment or two telling you why I have an interest in this particular area. In 1981, my denomination afforded me an opportunity to work with pastors and churches in a way where I'd never worked with them before. As a result of this experience, I found that there was a great deal of pain being experienced by ministers and laypersons who comprise our congregations. I was so overwhelmed by all of this that I decided at that particular point in my life to spend additional time and effort in studying and researching the matter of conflict in the church. As a result of my efforts in this area, I have had the opportunity to teach classes, to lead in seminars, to work with churches and pastors and individuals who have experienced conflict. My desire in all of this was to see them put their ministries together in such a way that the cause of Christ might be glorified through their lives and through the various congregations that I served. And so all of that is said to explain to you why I have an interest in this, and hope that as a result of your taking this course, you will have a better understanding as to how to manage conflict in your life as an individual, and also in the place where you serve as a minister. Chapter 1, Introduction and Purpose. I knew of a pastor who wanted to build a new sanctuary, and he did build his new sanctuary. However, between his desire to build that sanctuary and the actual construction of the building were some unfortunate events. Those events included marathon business meetings, verbal confrontations, name-calling, a loss of church members, and finally, a church split. This man's inspiration for the new building came out of a vision that began as a result of his attendance of a church growth conference. Under his leadership, the church where he was serving was growing, but it was growing so much that it was necessary to establish new facilities, and in his opinion, build these new facilities at a new location in order to maintain this growth. He proposed his idea to the leadership of his church, and they voted against the project. He then presented this idea to the church family in general, but they also voted against it. They did vote, however, to begin a building fund. Later, another vote was taken in the church family, and again, the vote was against the project. The pastor could not, and he would not, give up his vision. After acquiring land for this new facility, which was a part of his vision, the pastor left his original congregation, and a part of that congregation went with him to his new location. Conflict in the church. It is nothing new. I remember in my first pastorate, I was not prepared for what happened to me. Prior to being a pastor, and while completing my college education, I had served as a youth director in a large downtown church, and it was a very satisfying experience. It was an older church. Its membership included second and third generations of the same family, and I remember feeling how the congregation seemed as if it were a large family, where there was so much love and so much respect, and the people seemed to just pull together on every issue. It was the type of ministry experience that ministers look forward to and regret leaving when the time occurs. Yet, I did leave because I felt led to go to a seminary in a different city. Now, the people said to me, well, we sure do hope that you won't leave. Now that you've finished your college education, why don't you stay with us and work for a while? But I just firmly felt that it was time to go. So I left, and I went to seminary. During my first year at seminary, I soon found myself in need of experience and in need, of course, of an income. So when the first opportunity to serve as a pastor came my way, I accepted that position, although it was over 200 miles from the seminary where I was attending school. It was a new congregation in an area where the work of my denomination was just beginning. The nearest church in this particular association was over 20 miles away. Well, I thought there's nothing to serving as a pastor of a congregation. After all, I had successfully served as a minister to youth, and what could be the difference? I mean, ministry is ministry, whether you serve as a pastor or whether you serve as a music director or whether you serve as a youth director, it's all the same. I had been successful as a minister to youth, and surely in light of all of that experience and wisdom, I would certainly be successful as a pastor. What could be the difference? Unconcern was the attitude that I took with me into my first pastorate. I learned much about myself, I learned much about the pastorate, and I learned much about the ministry during the 12 months I served that congregation. It was only a short while before learning that there was a difference between being a minister to youth in a large urban church and being a mission pastor. I discovered that Christians can be very unkind toward each other and still strongly support the church with their financial gifts. I found out that decisions made by the pastor, even when he considers them to be in the best interest of the congregation, can cause discomfort between himself and his members. I came to realize that church members could deceive and even lie to their pastor and other members of the congregation during conflict situations. So bitterness and disappointment with my denomination and with my seminary and with the pastorate in general almost overcame me. They should know better than this, I thought. Here is a new church that's just beginning to function. The members are not really sure what to do in some situations. They're new to the faith. And certainly as a pastor, I had no experience here. And what I thought was that someone is needed who knows all the right answers and how to make the correct decisions in a situation like this. Someone with 20 years of experience would have a difficult time in this place. What am I doing here? Was the thought that went through my mind. The fact was, however, I was there. The people needed a pastor, and I wanted to be a pastor and serve a local congregation. But I was uncomfortable, and I was experiencing a lot of pain. I knew it, and the congregation knew it. And over again, I repeatedly announced my intentions to stay with them. I was aware of conflict and problems, and they were aware of conflict and problems in the church. But yet, over and over again, I announced my intention to stay. I was going to stay in that church. Until one day, I finally just gave it all up and resigned after being there just 1 year. My second pastorate lasted 2 years. It was in a larger church, but yet, again, in a somewhat rural community. I was warmly received and largely enjoyed my relationship with the congregation for the 2 years I was there. Although, I must say again that I experienced conflict in that particular pastorate. In that church, which was in a rural community, I experienced culture shock. I had spent most of my life in a large city, thinking and doing things the way city people do them. I was accustomed to the take action now approach to getting things done. But this approach caused some considerable discomfort among the leaders of the church and among the members of the church. And furthermore, I now realize that some of the things that seemed to be so important to me were not important to them. And some of the things that were important to them were not important to me. And little things became big things, and I began to feel I needed to leave. Nothing was going right. My ideas were not their ideas. Their ideas were not my ideas. And so, after 2 years, I left that pastorate also. Now, I'm not going to share every experience that I've had in the ministry, but what I'm trying to say to you during this part of the course is that even the one who speaks to you this moment, one who has studied the issue of conflict in the church for years, has not only known the joy of ministry, but has also experienced some of the discomfort that comes in ministry either sooner or later. The purpose of this course. There are four purposes. First, I want to enumerate those and then give more information or more detail about each of those four purposes. First, the primary concern of this course is that it serve as a source of encouragement to pastors and staff and laypersons who comprise the congregations of this land when they find themselves embroiled in some sort of conflict. Conflict in a local congregation can be painful. It can be debilitating. It can be destructive. And so a special concern of this course is over the relation of how uncontrolled conflict in the church can do incredible damage to the hopes of the church and the lives of the pastor and the staff. But yet, in light of all of this damage and destruction, I hope that a word of encouragement comes to the student. A second purpose is to drive home the fact that conflict is a reality in every church. Conflict is a reality in every church. And as I said a moment ago, I'll elaborate on these things at a later point. But every church has or will experience conflict in either a minor or a major way. The only church that does not experience conflict is a dead church. Thirdly, a purpose of this course is to encourage the student to study Scripture, to look at Scripture, and determine what Scripture has to say about conflict in the church. If you do look at Scripture, either in the Old Testament or the New Testament, you won't turn very many pages, you won't read very many verses before you will realize that the Bible is a book that is filled with stories about conflict in the lives of individuals, in the lives of groups, in the lives of the Old Testament, in the lives of people in the New Testament. It's a book that's filled with stories about conflict in the lives of people and their organizations. The study of Scripture will help develop facts and theories and strategies that will help the student deal with conflict. The fourth and final purpose of this course is to help one become familiar with his particular style of conflict management and learn how to adjust that style when it's wise to do so. I'll talk to you more about conflict management styles at a later point. Now, let's go back to the first purpose and discuss it in more detail. First, I want it to be a word of encouragement for ministers. In four different ways, I have served in the ministry as a youth minister, as a pastor, a chaplain, an administrator. And while serving in each of these capacities, I've seen a great deal of discomfort and pain and even suffering experienced by ministers and their constituency due to some kind of conflict. As a youth minister, I saw turmoil nearly split a church to its death. As a pastor, I experienced conflict with church members, leaders, and staff. As a chaplain, I saw a colleague experience rejection from other chaplains because of theological differences. As an administrator, I have listened to dozens of ministers share their burdens and ask for help in finding a new place of ministry. As conflict occurs in the church, someone gets hurt. And as a result of that hurt, changes are made. And the change may come in the form of a member leaving his position in the church or even leaving the church itself, while the minister may ultimately resign his position or even leave the ministry. Excerpts from a study on the presence of destructive conflict in the local church are mentioned below just to illustrate the gravity of the situation. Listen. A review of the tenure of 220 pastors who served a total of 98 churches during a 10-year period revealed some disturbing information. Of major concern is the fact that a pastor serving one of these churches in that 10-year period had a 15.45% or nearly 1 in 6 chance of being forcefully terminated. Let me say that again. 220 pastors serving a total of 98 churches in a 10-year period revealed that those pastors serving those churches in that 10-year period had a 1 in 6 chance of being forcefully terminated. Of the 220 churches, 117 had from 3 to 5 pastors during the 10-year period. 39 churches had 2 pastors. 25 churches had 1 pastor. Now, my belief is that brief pastorates hinder the work of the church, while pastorates that end in forceful termination cause lasting and sometimes irreparable damage to the life and the personhood of that minister, to the congregation, and even the community in which the church is located. So, pastors should learn to give serious consideration to career planning. Other than retirement plans, most ministers do not give a lot of thought to career planning. In fact, it appears that most ministers and congregations give little thought of any kind to planning when it comes to long-range plans, which include objectives and goals and action plans for the following 2 or 3 years of a congregation's work and ministry. Career planning for the minister, however, could be the first step in keeping a forced termination from occurring in his ministry. A lot of what happens in the business world has influenced much of what happens in the ministry. Bigger and better and more are signs of success. And the faster one can get to the top, the more admiration he has from those who are looking at him from afar. Thus, by the pressure of his peers and the drive of his own ego, time and energy are expended by some pastors in pursuit of the goal of moving up the ministerial ladder. However, there are some dangers and some drawbacks to this approach to ministry. Staying at the top, for example, is often more difficult than getting to the top. Large congregations place heavy demands on their ministers. Large churches have more financial resources, and therefore they have bigger staffs, more programs, a larger number of families that request more services, and so on and so on. And whether he desires it or likes it or wants it or not, the pastor of a large church is often seen as a pace setter for other pastors in the community. So the pressures to produce and the pressure to be an example, these pressures are always there. And all of this requires time and energy and great sacrifices by that pastor. Burnout becomes more of a reality, and the minister begins to consider how refreshing it would be to serve in another place. But the larger churches are not so numerous, and the competition for them is very great. At the same time, a smaller church may not have the resources and the prestige to support the lifestyle and the ego state to which the minister and his family have become accustomed. In the final analysis, it is better to move at a slower pace than it is to make lateral or downward moves. Let me give you an example where career planning is a standard and a must if one is to survive and accomplish some of the goals that he has set for himself, and that's in the realm of the military, and specifically in the realm of the military reserve program. The military reserve program provides an excellent example for career planning. Officers are forced to do serious career planning if they desire to complete a 20-year term of service that will qualify them for retirement benefits. First, of course, there are the educational requirements. There must be a completion of a college program. There must be a completion of a seminary program. And then after a couple of years of experience, the education and the experience qualifies one to serve as a military chaplain in this case. And then once a person is allowed to become a part of that force, there come the basic entrance requirements for promotion. They have to attend a school, a basic school, before they can be eligible for their first promotion. And then after that, it's necessary to attend an advanced school before one is eligible for his second promotion. And as an officer pursues his career in the military, he must be very careful not to move too fast. Oh, there's a part of him that would say, listen, it would sure be nice to be higher in rank and have more pay and more authority and more responsibility. But the fact is, a person can move too fast and find himself out of position, out of rank, and even out of pay. So there is a pace, and I think there's some value in this even for persons in the ministry, to pace yourself. Be careful not to move too fast. Be careful not to try to climb to the top, because as I said before and I say again, it's much more difficult to stay there than it is to get there. There are occasions when a minister may accomplish his task on a particular church field in a short period of time, while another minister on a different church field requires several years to accomplish what really needs to be done. There are ministers who legitimately feel that their gift is to raise funds and buildings. After the building is erected, they leave and they go to similar fields of service where other congregations need to build a building. And so their ministry is to come and to do something and to go on to another place. Other ministers feel their gift is to serve as a healing agent where the congregation has just experienced some major pain for one reason or another. And after bringing the people to a place where the spirit seems to have improved, the minister leaves for another place of service. In most instances, however, the pastorate of 18 to 24 months is not an adequate period of time for the minister to learn about his neighborhood, to learn about the resources in the neighborhood, to really become acquainted with his congregation and their deep needs. More time is needed to develop a meaningful and lasting ministry which will positively influence the lives of the congregants. In most cases, a minister goes to a place of service he should go with the attitude that he will be there for a period of years. Yes, this is asking for a minister to make a commitment, but is not commitment the content of that which the minister calls for and preaches about from the pulpit on a regular basis? Is not commitment a significant part of what the gospel is all about? The Stepping Stone Church needs to become an anachronism. Small churches, old inner-city churches, and even medium-sized suburban churches can all benefit and gain credibility in their communities when the ministry of a pastor and people is spread beyond just a few short months. Staying for several years calls for creativity. It's not necessary to be very creative when the minister moves from one church to the next every 2 to 3 years. In that period of time, he can preach the same sermons, let's be honest, with little extra study effort. He can run the same programs, maintain the same high energy level in getting things done, if in the back of his mind he knows the settings and the scenery will change in just a few short months. And he can start it all over again. Staying for more than 3 or 4 years will require a study of the community, a study of the community and its needs, and some sort of long-range planning. These things are necessary if the minister is serious about ministry in his community. Having a special service that's different from 1 year to the next, or adding a new program, displays only a limited type, a very limited type of long-range planning. Long-range planning. It takes time to study the church, its ministry, and what impact it is or is not making on the neighborhood. It takes commitment to pursue particular tasks through the design and the funding of those tasks. Churches ordinarily cannot do effective long-range planning without the leadership of a pastor, and a pastor cannot give serious attention to long-range planning if he's only on the church field for a short while. To stay beyond 3 or 4 years calls for more authenticity in ministry by way of deeper Bible study, establishing meaningful relationships with people, and more involvement in the neighborhood. This is what so many communities need. Titles of books written over the years give credence to the fact that there is trouble in the church and pastors move too quickly or too frequently. Listen to some of these titles. Ex-Pastors, Why Men Leave the Parish Ministry. Church Fights, Managing Conflict in the Local Church. Resolving Church Conflict. Conflict Ministry in the Church. Control in Conflict. Just imagine how Satan is overjoyed when these kinds of things happen. Surely he considers it a great victory when he sees God's people attacking each other, churches being split, members leaving congregations never to return, and men and women leaving the ministry for which they had long prepared. Now, some churches need to be disbanded. Some church members need to leave a local congregation. Some pastors never should have entered the ministry and much less stay in it. For the most part, however, the local church needs to be in the community where it was established. Church members are good and caring people, and ministers who have experienced God's call should be in the ministry.